Hello and welcome to the Good Fight Podcast, where we are informing and empowering truth seekers to take their place in the good fight. So this is Brian here with Denver once again. Denver, great to have you here, and let's keep it up, right?
Yep, I'm excited. And now we're on a little bit more of a normal schedule, so hopefully you can look out for these episodes coming a little more regular than they have been. So
yeah, that's great. Well, that tagline, informing and empowering truth seekers to take their place in the good fight, we're really hoping to put some flesh and bones to that tonight by helping us identify ways we can be involved. But first, Denver, I got a trivia question for you. Okay. Are you ready?
Okay. Yep.
Which U.S. president was the president responsible for deporting the most people from the country during their term?
That's a great question. I feel like the easy answer would be Donald Trump, but I don't think it's Donald Trump because he was a one-term president. I'm going to go with a answer that you may not think. I'm Barack Obama.
Well, you got it.
Really?
It was Barack Obama.
Oh,
so I was hoping you wouldn't get it, so I could appear so much smarter and superior. But I should have known better.
Oh man! All right.
Well, let's see if you get the B part of the question.
Okay.
Who was Obama's border czar?
Oh gosh, I have no idea.
Tom Homan.
Really?
Yep.
Okay, I did not know that.
Yep. So anyway, yeah. So there we go. So wow. Yeah,
I've been seeing Tom all over my social media with all these different sound bites.
Yep.
So yeah, he's the real deal.
Yeah. So yeah, all the best to him. Yeah, I like sticking with the criminals first. You know, first things first, and then go from there. So it's great. Yep. Well, our episode, this is season 4, episode 11, and we've entitled it, Don't Fall Asleep in Delilah's Lap. So if you know your Old Testament, you'll kind of recognize that reference. But after our wonderful victory last week, now we got to do something with it. So, you know, we can't just sit back, tune out, stop praying, working, speaking. It's not going to count for anything. If we do that, and we have too many examples of that in the past, right?
Yeah, and this is going to be an exciting 4 years, but all the work that we put into it means, it, like Brian said, it means nothing if we actually don't do anything with it. And so we've been seeing it in the news, the different cabinet appointments, and so every day there's been multiple. So they're already getting started, which is a good sign. But there's much more to do, and there's much more to do on our level too, what we can do as just citizens.
Yeah. I think the cool thing about that is that once they've established, they can start going about thinking about who their staff is going to be, what their policies are going to be, what they're going to implement. And, you know, they've got a busy 2 months ahead before the inauguration, so they can really hit the ground running. So I think it's very exciting. So, well, the whole Delilah's lap thing, falling asleep in Delilah's lap, is kind of being lulled into oblivion and then letting bad things happen to us. So if you're not familiar with the story of the Bible, reading Judges 13 through 16, it's a very interesting read. In fact, the book of Judges is a very interesting read about a very interesting time. But, you know, basically Samson was given great strength. Somehow God connected it with his long flowing hair that he had. That was his strength. He also had a weakness. So Pastor Chuck Swindoll said that Samson was a he-man, but he had a she-weakness. So he liked the ladies, and that ended up being a lot of his undoing. So one of his many ladies was Delilah. And so unbeknownst to him, she was secretly plotting with his enemies, the Philistines, to work on his downfall. So Delilah would invite him over and work her feminine charm on him, and oh, Samson, tell me the secret of your strength. And Samson would kind of play and kind of not quite give the answer. And so, oh, Samson, you quit playing with me. Give me the answer. So finally, he got tired of that. And he told her. Well, all the time there were people, you know, waiting, wanting to take him into captivity. So after that, he fell asleep in Delilah's lap and just went to sleep so peacefully, and the man in the other room came in, cut off his hair, took him captive, blinded him. So I suppose you could say falling asleep in Delilah's lap is one thing, but waking up from Delilah's lap is entirely another thing. So, quite a story there. So.
Sounds all too familiar of an ex-relationship. No, I'm just
kidding. Yes. Well, I think you're, yeah.
No. Good company.
Right. But even though Samson got the last laugh, he allowed the world, so to speak, to wear him down and compromise God's principle. So while he was asleep, that allowed the enemy to come in. And so, you know, that saying that the price of freedom is eternal vigilance, you know, I think really comes to bear here.
So one thing that we can take away from that is to not get too comfortable with where we're at and what we've accomplished thus far. Is that right?
Yep. Okay. Yep. Not be taken in by the wiles of the world and compromise our mission. That we've got, now is the time to keep our eyes open. Everybody figure out our part, what to do, and get out there and do it. You know, because I've heard it said that we basically have 18 months to save the country. You know, after 18 months, people are going to start running for the midterms. Then people are going to start running for president. Then it gets all watered down. And some people say, well, really, it's more like a year. Yeah. So, I think that's just, even as we pray for our government, that's what we need to kind of keep that in mind.
That's a great reminder. I mean, obviously, in the back of my mind, I've been thinking, you know, obviously that we have 2026 midterms, but, I've been thinking 4 years, but really it's 2 years.
Yep. And there's no guarantee of unified government in 2 years either.
Right. You know? Exactly.
Yeah. Here's another trivia question. You know who was the last Republican that had unified government for 4 years?
Let's go with George H.W.
Calvin Coolidge.
No way.
Yep.
Okay. So it's been a little bit longer than
100 years. Yep. Yeah. 100 years. So there we go. Well, we're going to explore kind of four different areas tonight. We're going to talk about just some of the ways that maybe even inadvertently we, so to speak, fall asleep in Delilah's lap without even knowing it. We're going to talk about a responsibility as citizens to stay awake and watchful, to be that vigilant. We're going to talk about why this kind of miraculous election result presents special opportunities to help fix our country, especially for young people like you, Denver, and seniors like me, Brian. And then just a short sampling of kind of the virtually infinite number of ways that we can dig in and do something significant.
Well, I'm excited to get into it.
Okay, let's dig in. So what are some of the ways we can fall asleep without even realizing it? You know,
I know one of the ways, and this happens way too often, but it's true. I say that I'm too busy, which I am, but there's always time to carve out for something that's very important.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so a great way to do it is to try to schedule some sort of time for that every day. If it's 20 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes. You can use that differently each day, but putting that into your schedule and just saying, this is the time where I'm going to do some work for the good of you may want to categorize it as your family, as your community, stuff like that. There's different ways to do it, but saying that you're too busy kind of is a cop out, and I do it.
Well, I look at myself in the way that I spend my time, you know, and I love just mindlessly scrolling through Instagram videos, mm-hmm. you know, and I mean, and yeah, we all need our leisure time and stuff like that, but I spend way too much time doing some stuff like that at times. And, you know, I look at young families, you know, are so busy going back and forth to soccer and this and that and all over the place. And, you know, some of that stuff is good, but sometimes it good things take the place of the most important things, the best things. And I think it's for all of us, no matter where we are in life, it's good for us to make it work out. Another thing I'm really trying, you know, is just the you know, God kind of built in the Sabbath concept, like work for 6 days, make sure you take a day of rest. Right. And I mean, I consume a lot of media during the day. Mm-hmm. And on Sundays, I really try to get away from that and, you know, listen to music and just kind of clear my mind. And that's been very helpful to kind of fast from that. In fact, I fasted for it from even longer after the election for a little bit. Right. It killed me, but I did.
Yeah. No, I get it.
Yeah. Well, another way I think we kind of fall asleep is Delilah's lap is just letting our spiritual life, ignoring that or letting our spiritual life atrophy. And it's really important, you know, and maybe another way to that is if we attend a church where things, clearly biblical issues are at stake in the culture and they aren't discussed from the pulpit by the pastor, to me, that is lulling, giving ourselves a false sense of the fact that, that's not worthy of being addressed. And I mean, I personally, I would almost rather have a church just say, go all the way on the woke side than just saying, oh, it doesn't matter. You know, there, you know, that, you know, there's lots of different opinions in our congregation and stuff like that. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, no, I agree. I these matters are important, and to go one way or the other is better than just saying that, nope, we don't want to talk about it. And honestly, that's a large issue that I have personally with trying to find a church. As many of you know, that's been an issue for me for years where I am right now. And so that goes into it.
Yeah. Yep. You know, and I've heard this from friends and some family members, is just kind of retreating into our own world, kind of closing our eyes, plugging our ears, and just living our life. Oh, things are going all okay for me, so I'm just not going to worry about it. Have you heard that argument from people?
Yes, and with the many conversations I had leading up to the election of people who didn't want to vote for Trump or whatever, it was that. It was, you know, is my life really going to be any different? I'm doing fine now, et cetera, et cetera. But like you said, it's complete. It's ignorance of what's going on in the world.
Yeah, and I think for us, it really is worth spending some time learning how to talk to people about that, mm-hmm. and how to ask questions and kind of how to bring that out. Because you know, I think I also hear that, oh, it's just so disturbing and confusing to try to pay attention to. There's just so many perspectives out there. You know, I just don't know what to do. And, you know, it takes hard work. I mean, there are worldview issues. And I think that's some of our job to educate people, you know, especially Christian believers, about what a biblical worldview entails and some of the implications of that, and kind of go from there.
Well, we talk about, you know, what can an individual do, you know, taking your place in the good fight. I'd say one of the top things that you could do is being informed. And that sounds simple, but it's really not, because you know, there is a lot that goes on in the world. There's a lot that goes on in our country, and there's a lot that goes in our states and then in our cities. There's so much to keep track of. And so it's a difficult thing to be truly informed. But if you can do that, that's going to help you in your conversations. It's going to get other people informed, and it creates a good snowball effect from there. Yeah. But being informed, I think, is one of the main things you can do to take your place in the good fight.
Yep. And it's kind of, I mean, it's just like, as a, you know, as a Christian believer, you got to know the Bible. And in these kind of issues, you need to, you know, we need to know the Constitution. We need to know our history and our blessings, what we have, how rare it is, and then what it takes to maintain it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Yep. I like it. Well, kind of, you know, those are some of the ways we can fall asleep. Now let's kind of figure out how we can avoid that and going on there. So I love that last line of the Declaration of Independence, where it says, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. And I think, you know, we're going to kind of explore each one of those things and how that might inspire us to figure out, you know, how we can use each of those parts of our life to help with this.
That I love that line. And you really have to take yourself back to that time to fully understand it. I mean, these weren't just words. They were writing it down, but they were saying that, yeah, we're going to give up our life if we have to. Everything we have, if we have to, for the cause of this nation. And, you know, five summers ago or so, at Patriot Academy in Texas, we talked about this, and, you know, it's extremely powerful. And so, you know, what can we do to somewhat replicate this in our times?
Yep. And they had you guys go up, and I was there. I remember it was very moving. They had you guys go up and actually sign a copy of the Declaration of Independence.
Yep.
So you kind of knew what that felt like. That was very moving.
Yeah, it was an extremely a humbling experience.
Yeah,
to be able to do that. Yeah.
Well, just a couple of things just about our lives. I mean, I recommend that take care of your spiritual life first. You know, God's the one that won this victory for us. And so, you know, take care of that, that, you know, if you do God's will in God's way, in God's power, that mm-hmm. saves a lot of needless effort. And, you know, I could give you lots of examples in my own life of both sides of that equation. You know, read the Bible, you know, study and pray, and then find some fellow believers and gather with, get involved with a good church. And like you said, Denver, that's not always an easy thing to do.
No, it's not at all. It's been difficult the past couple of years. But having a coalition, many of my friends, even friends back home in California, I still have a group around me, people I can rely on, talk to. And so even if that is something for you, it's still a good coalition to be a part of. But in person's always better. I'm still working on that.
Yeah. I think it's also important to, like we mentioned earlier, get our priorities together, really think about what the priorities are in our life. So, you know, we got to balance out work and family, spiritual life, social life, rest and leisure, and our civic engagement. You know, that's the price of freedom. And that's one of the reasons we're in the mess we're in, is because people have just kind of kicked back and not paid attention. They're ignorant of the conversation or the Constitution. You know, look at some of the man on the street interviews, you know, asking just basic questions. I mean, it's pretty pitiful.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep. And I've been thinking about these balances, and yeah, I think everybody goes through a busy season in the year. And, you know, what I'm doing now, since I don't have the football anymore, is try to get up, you know, the civic engagement, more of the spiritual stuff that I had, but I still lacked in my quote unquote busy season. Now that I have free time, I'd like to fill the time with other things now. And so I think that's part of the balance. You may not even look at it as a balance a day to day, but a balance, you know, could be week to week. Mm-hmm. So I think finding what works for you, I think is important.
Carving out that time. Yep. Denver mentioned it earlier, you know, listen, watch, read, be informed. You know, we've mentioned it before, but that, you know, if I could recommend two podcasts for all of our listeners to listen to, one would be Albert Mohler's The Briefing, and then The Wall Builder Show. Every day will give you a really well-rounded exposure to the main issues of the day, from very practical things. And then
and The Good Fight Podcast.
And well, yes, The Good Fight Podcast, of course. And we're working there. So, Denver, do you have, what other recommendations can you think of from your perspective? I know it may be different for, you know, people of your.
I love Charlie Kirk. I think what he does is some tremendous stuff. And I've talked to him about him many times here. But, I mean, he's got podcasts. I think if you have some extra time, I think Joe Rogan is one with Donald Trump. I thought was very interesting. So there's a couple that Joe Rogan has done that you might find interesting, but if I were to say one, I'd say Charlie Kirk.
Yeah. And that's one of our goals, even of our podcast here, is because we do kind of consume so much media, you know, other than those two or three that we'd recommend everybody pay attention to all the time, bring things to your attention that we found especially valuable. So you can kind of be looking for that for it.
Yeah. So that was lives, but go to Fortunes, money. The founders of our country put up their money to fund the revolution, and many of them died bankrupt. And so we're not saying that everybody should go bankrupt, but there's definitely things that you can do with your money that can help the cause, several causes, local, state, federal. I think Turning Point USA is a great one, in my opinion. If you have money to support a cause, I think Turning Point USA does fantastic things. I've seen it personally at college. I was part of a Turning Point USA chapter for a little bit before it got disbanded, and that's another story for another day. But while it was here, it was great, and the funding was good.
It didn't disband just as you walked up to the group, did it?
Just shortly after.
Okay, well, we'll try not to draw any other conclusions.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, that is something, you know, our money is a blessing from God. It belongs to God. And, you know, that is just part of the way it's set up. Our economy is set up is that money is important. So, you know, sacred honor has to do with our reputation. You know, that what somebody is willing to fight for says a lot about them. Mm-hmm. And I do want to talk to some of these people that seem so passive. Is there anything in your life that you would be willing to stand up and fight for? You know, people that are so, you know, kind of anti-gun and, you know, things like that. Well, you know, how are you going to protect yourself in your house? You know, that kind of thing. And so what you're willing to fight for, you know, and sometimes it's in your reputation, right? I mean, look at what Elon Musk has had to go through in terms of his, you know, being shunned by a lot of the people that he was part of the in crowd of.
Mm-hmm. No, you're right. He's, ever since, it's almost like Donald Trump. If you go back 2012, 2013, Democrats even liked him. Then when he started to run for president, it's like, not so much. Same thing has happened with Elon.
Well, didn't he tell, he told somebody, I think it was Bobby Kennedy. Yeah, don't you remember I wrote you one of your first checks?
Yeah.
So, yep. Nope. But, and this is a tough one for me. I tend to be a people pleaser. I want people to like me. And just that when you tell the truth, you're going to make enemies and developing a thick skin. You know, Margaret Thatcher, you know, she said, I won't try to say it in her accent, but she said, if you just set out to be liked, you'll be prepared to compromise on anything at any time and would achieve nothing. Hmm. So, wow. And how much have we seen that, you know, played out before our eyes in some ways?
Yeah. No, that's great that you brought that up. And if you don't know this about Brian, I share this with Brian as I'm a people pleaser too. And it's been a struggle forever, but yeah, that quote hit me hard.
Yep. From the Iron Lady.
Yeah.
So, yep. There we go.
Greatly.
Yep. Well, let's kind of move on here and talk about our civic responsibility. You know, our time is kind of winding down here, but I just wanted to put out why I think just in this election, just the free speech opportunity that we've been given because of this new administration coming in to help shore it up, gives us opportunities to just go out and press the advantage all over the place, just and use that advantage. It's time to become hardened warriors and go out and train up others. And I just think to how our speech, our money, our lives, our passions can all be used to promote that and make it work.
Look, we live in a very unique time. And what I mean by that is really technology. And I've talked about technology on this podcast quite a bit, but all the different platforms that are available to us and whatever one you choose to go on, incredibly powerful to reach people and people that you know and people that you don't know. And how cool it is for us to be able to take advantage of that. You know, Brian and I are expressing that through form of a podcast. You can do it through many other ways, but you know, you can engage in civil discussion on these different platforms. I think it's an incredible, powerful tool to spark conversations, spark ideas, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. And, you know, we want you to think about what this means for you. You know, mm-hmm. Pray about where God might want to have you involved. Everybody can start tomorrow being informed. You know, pull up some of these podcasts and try it. Find somebody you like, something you like, and find it. Find other people that are interested in the stuff that you are. See which topic seems to resonate with you, what you seems to stir your passions, and kind of go forward in that direction.
Yeah, and if you're one of the younger listeners, take advantage of it. You know, you're young. We have energy, time to shape education and training for these opportunities that we have right now. And I always forget how young I am. I'm 22 years old. There's a lot to go. You know, I want to go get a master's. I want to go and continue my education. And so this is the time to do that. And there's going to be no better time. And so take advantage of it.
Yeah. And for the people in between, people your age, like between 30 and 60 or so, they're busy raising families, having careers, getting educated, you know, and all of those things. But, you know, when you get up to people around my age, you know, we're retired or nearing retirement. We've got time. Our children are grown out of the house. Maybe more financial freedom to be involved in some of these things. And a real motivator for me is I have grandchildren for whom I want to leave a better world. Mm-hmm. You know, I told people flat out, part of the reason I'm doing this is because I love my grandkids. Yeah. And so I think that's really powerful. So
well, I think a lot of people share that with you. You know, from the people I talked to up to the upcoming election, people who are older than me, that was a common thing amongst everybody. So, yeah.
Yep. It certainly was in Arizona when I was there with Charlie Kirk. So,
right.
Yeah. Well, Denver, maybe we can kind of skip down here. We were going to kind of tell you some of the ways that we are interested in being involved. But, you know, since time is running a little short, maybe we can, you know, skip ahead and save some of that for another time, but just for you, there's so many opportunities. So just kind of look for that, think and pray, and see what God might have for you in that. And it'll be interested. You know, I'd love for you to let us know what you're thinking. You know, email us goodfight71@gmail.com, email us and kind of let us know what you're thinking, so we can celebrate together and go out and really be that kind of salt and light and influence that we can be.
Yeah, and share with your friends and family if you feel so inclined. You know, we have this on Facebook. You can find us on Facebook. Share the post, comment. But yeah, reach out to us. We want to hear from you. But yeah, if you can, share this with a family or friend.
Yep. Well, just to wrap up, you know, just a week and a half ago, we prayed for God's mercy in granting us what we are now just seeing play out before our very eyes. You know, the scripture says God is able to do beyond what we are even able to ask or think. And I think this is a beautiful example of that. So let's be good stewards of that. And again, we ask the question, what's your part in the good fight? John Adams said, posterity, you will never know how much it costs the present generation to preserve your freedom. I hope you'll make good use of it. If you don't, I'll repent in heaven that I ever took half the plans I did to preserve it. So maybe, yeah, kind of at a point of life, kind of thinking about that. But still, there was a tremendous cost has been paid by the founders and many, many people up through then. So let's be worthy of that.
No, that's a great reminder. And we have to continue it, because if we don't, then it was all for naught, basically. So we have a duty.
Okay. Well, let's all keep up the good fight. We love you all. Let us know what you think. And hopefully we'll be out again next week with some more stuff. So take care, everybody. Keep up the good fight.
God bless. Thanks.
Bye.